so glad to be here with you, Sanctuary, and with my good friend Michael. And actually was wearing a similar polo today when we were talking, so I changed because our names are Michael. We wear glasses that are, it was just too much.
Right.
Yeah, pants are, yeah, it's kind of, but I'm so glad to be here with you and talk about prayer. And in this series, it's week four of our series, When in Doubt. And if you want to check our series out online, please go to menlo.church/sank. And, you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to bring Michael up here is that he, your view of prayer and how you pray has just always been really inspiring to me. Prayer is something that I will often just kind of struggle with. And in this series, When in Doubt, when I kind of thought about this subject, why do I pray? Why should I pray if God hasn't answered my prayers? That was just kind of a cry that I had in my heart. And we've had a lot of discussions about prayer. And so I just thought it'd be great to model that discussion up here. And one of the reasons that Sanctuary that we'll have discussions up here is just to model what having a conversation looks like. And we invite and encourage you maybe today to find a friend and take them to coffee, go to coffee, go to lunch, and have a conversation about your faith. You don't have to know theology or the Bible that well or even at all just to talk about faith in Jesus. And if you're not in a life group, get plugged in and have these kind of conversations. But Michael, throughout our conversations on prayer, one of the things that I've loved is just your view about how prayer is just this conversation between us and God, and how it's this open line of communication, but sometimes that communication can become broken or disconnected. I would love you to start by just talking a little bit about that, what that looks like, why that happens, and yeah.
Sure. Well, first, let me just say that I am by no means any sort of a authority on this in any type of a, I didn't go to seminary. I'm not.
You've written 10 books on prayer, but it's like not
only
a big
10,
deal.
So it's when I get to 15, maybe it'll be more.
Yeah.
No, I haven't written any book. but I so all I can really speak to is just my personal experience. The way that prayer has been woven through my life, just my story with it, and I guess for me, just in my journey, I've found that. That people's stories tend to be really powerful with me and really meaningful. So that's all. I just wanted to sort of disclaimer that of, you know, everything that I say, maybe it's not going to, it's like, oh, actually in 2 Thessalonians, you know, I don't know. But anyway, prayer is communication. And it's just, it's so important to realize that to me. That prayer is not this sending up of 911 prayers and thank you notes and just sort of out there in the atmosphere that, you know, we don't know where they go or what happens with it. Prayer is communication, and communication is two ways. You know, when you have a conversation with somebody, and if you're talking to me and I'm like,
hey Michael,
like that's not communication. No. I'm just like, I'm somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you know, if you've ever had a conversation, you've been trying to talk with somebody and they're like on their phone and you're like,
yep.
That like that, it's just, it's that communication has been broken in some way. They're not engaged with you.
Yeah.
Communication is engaging. Mm-hmm. It's two ways. It's not just I'm speaking at God. God is speaking back to us. Mm. And we have to just sort of be receptive to that. In ways that maybe we don't know, maybe we're not unaware of, but with any type, when we're opening up a conversation with God through prayer, which is what prayer is, it's a opening up of a conversation. We have to think of it and expect it that it's not just one way.
Yeah.
So those breakdowns in communication, you know, to use the analogy of the phone or whatever, in human communication, obviously we're both, the two people trying to talk to each other, both flawed. We're both fallen, and so anytime there's a communication breakdown, it's usually there's two parties involved with that. With God, God's obviously perfect. So when there's a communication breakdown, we have to look inside of ourselves and say, where is this breakdown occurring and what's making it happen? Yeah. Some of the things that I've encountered in my life have been people coming up to me saying things like, you know, I was praying and I really feel like this is the person you're supposed to marry.
Or I've seen it. I went to a Christian college. Yeah. That junk happens.
It happens.
It happened to me once. This mom was like, hey, God told me you're going to marry my daughter. And I'm like, God did not tell me that.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Or people say things like you know, you confide in somebody and you're like, you know, I've been praying for this thing. And like, I'm just praying for a job or praying for healing or mm-hmm. praying for whatever it might be. And they say things like, well, I guess it's just because you don't have enough faith. And then they quote the scripture of, if you have faith of a mustard seed, then you can move mountains. And it's like, oh. And that just kills your perspective on communication because it starts to erode at this trust that we have in God. And trust is so important in communication. Yeah. You're not just going to walk up to a stranger and say, hello, stranger, let me tell you about my deepest, darkest secrets. And then I want you to respond to me and give me advice.
I'm an extrovert, so I have done that couple times. But it does not end well. It never has.
But so we have to be building this trust. We have to be consistent. We have to be diligent with seeking out this trust from God. And there are going to be times when that trust is put to a test. Yeah. Prayer is especially one of those times when we say, God, I'm praying and praying and praying. This just isn't happening. Yeah. That's a test of your trust right there because it's a test of your faith and it's a test of what you're truly believing prayer is supposed to be accomplishing.
Yeah. Michael, you're something that's just been encouraging and inspiring to me is just a particular event in your life a few years back where God used prayer to change your circumstances, change your life, and change how you view him. I would love it if you just take some time and, if you will, just talk about that event.
Sure. well, I'll try to. It's really related to my testimony. And if you've met me or heard my testimony before, this is a part of it. But long story short, basically, I was raised in a home that had a very sort of utility view of prayer. It was just something that we did. My dad said the exact same prayer after every single meal, and it was like 15 words, or before every meal. And it was just sort of like, we pray because, I don't know, because we pray, I guess. And there wasn't
any impersonal,
it was
surgical.
Very impersonal. And there wasn't any sort of, why am I praying? Who am I praying to? And how do I get to know this person?
Yeah.
So anyway, I fell away from my faith completely, and then I was graduated college in 2010. I was really struggling to find work, applying to hundreds and hundreds of jobs. Mm-hmm. My relationship with my family was terrible. My relationship with God was totally not there. My relationship with my community was all terrible. I had a lot of big forces all collapsing in on themselves at once. And they all blew up one night when I was driving and my gas light came on. And I'm like, wow. I've got like $4 in my bank account. I'm going to have to ask this family, because I had been living out of my car. I couldn't afford to pay rent. Excuse me. I couldn't afford to pay rent. I kind of got taken in by this family a little bit. And I'm like, I'm going to have to ask them for gas so I can drive to town. And I was just so embarrassed and so mad and just so lost and just so in the dark. And at that moment, I just started yelling. I just started yelling at, you know, God, if you're out there, then what the heck?
Yeah.
You know, why is this happening to me? I don't understand why I even exist. I don't understand what, you know, I was super depressed. I don't understand why I'm doing all these things. What is my purpose? There was just no hope. Yeah. I had no hope whatsoever. And as I'm yelling and just crying and being super angry, all of a sudden, I was visited by God. And you know, it's like you're in a room and you think that you're alone, and you're just, you know, doing your thing, and then you sort of are like, somebody else is in this room right now. Mm-hmm. And you look over, and it's like your cat. it was a similar type of a thing where I'm just like, somebody's in this car right now.
Wow.
And I didn't want to look over.
Wow.
Because I was too scared. And I'm like, I don't know how. What's happening? And wow. I just totally froze. And God actually spoke to me audibly.
Wow.
And he started speaking just love out loud. You know, Michael, stop worrying about these things. I love you. Trust me. I have it under control.
Wow.
You need to give up control. You can't do it without me.
Mm.
And all these things. And I'm like, oh, okay. And it's wow. it's like at that moment, I needed to hear that. Yeah. I needed that experience because I had this history of what prayer and what faith and what blah, blah, blah was. And it was all messed up. And I went home, fell asleep. The very next day, I got offered full-time work.
Wow.
And it was like, it was so weird. But a couple things came out of that. For the purpose of this, my perspective of what prayer was really changed from that night. Because I wasn't thinking about my yelling out to God as a prayer. I was just mad.
Yeah.
But when you're mad and you're expressing your emotions to somebody, you're doing that out of hurt. You're doing that out of a desire to be known, a desire for the person to hear you. You know, it's painful when you're doing that with people, and it's painful for God too. But it's communication.
Yeah.
It's
like a relational connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was longing for that. I felt so alone. I just wanted to connect with something, with somebody.
Yeah.
And God came in and said, hey, I've been here. I'm here.
Yeah.
And so my kind of perspective of it was, you know, the reason that I'm praying became less about getting what I was praying answered and more about developing a relationship with the person that I was praying to.
Wow. At the beginning we talked about just how prayer is this conversation and this connection and now just how it's about this relationship. And just kind of the narrative that I'm hearing woven into what you're saying is that prayer is just this connection and this relationship between you and God. And like a healthy relationship, or at least, you know, one that God is approachable and you can talk to. So one of my questions is, or the next question that I have is, let's say there's someone who wants to pray and wants to experience that connection and that healthy relationship with God. But what if they've never experienced what a healthy relationship is? What would you say to them?
That's a great question. And I did not have a healthy relationship modeled for me, not a healthy relationship with my father, mother, brother, friends, relationships. I didn't have anything healthy modeled for me at that moment. And the only way that I could possibly even start to begin understanding what a healthy relationship looked like interpersonally and a relationship with the father was getting in community where we were talking about it. I ended up joining this home church, which totally just helped change my life around. And these people wanted to hear my story. They didn't want to point out what was all wrong in my life. They wanted to hear my story. I wanted to hear their story. They wanted to share it. They wanted to share what they had learned. And, you know, and together through community, it was, okay, I'm getting sort of this picture is becoming a little bit more clear to me of what an actual healthy relationship looks like. And that happened for me through a genuine, honest community where we could share vulnerably what our hurts and pains were and what our joys and what our growth moments were.
So it's sort of like conversation in a and establishing and learning what healthy conversation and what that looks like in community directly related to and helped your relationship and your connection with God and how you pray. Like if you can talk to, like if you and me can talk about our relationship with Christ and model what a healthy relationship is, that can then inspire and change how we can talk with God because we've experienced that. That's really interesting. Yeah, so in this conversation on prayer and doubt, I want to talk a little bit about this subject of doubt and prayer. What would you say, let's say there is someone who has that healthy relationship in community, and they have this healthy relationship with God, and they pray to God, they trust in Him, and they are living in His grace and His love, and they're trying to follow Him. And if they were asked, they'd say, like, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm not perfect, but I know Him. And let's say that they have like a one-year-old son who has cancer, and the son is dying, and they are praying, like, God, help save my son. He's innocent. He's dying. Please help. And they have a relationship with Jesus and open communication, and nothing happens to the son. What would you say to that, to that dad? And what would you say to people who are experiencing that kind of doubt?
Yeah. Well, there's nothing really that we can ever say to anyone in that situation that can ever bring any sort of comfort or healing or anything in that moment. When somebody's going through that, like, we just have to go through it with them. And God's going through that with them too. And because honestly, there's just times when we pray for things that are so good. We pray for things like that racism can just go away, that that senseless killings will stop, that the sick children can be healed. We pray for these things that are not bad. They're totally not bad at all. And yet it doesn't happen. Or someone else's kid gets healed miraculously. Why them and not me? And there's really nothing that I can say, that anybody can really say to that, to answer that. But all that we can do, and this is kind of my perspective of it, just based on people that I've encountered that have gone through things like this, is that when the relationship with our Father is so much more important than anything else, like, we will experience hurt and sadness and brokenness and pain and suffering, just like Christ did. But if the most important thing is having this perspective that is eternal, that, like, in all that we pray, the first part of it is, Father, let me grow closer to You. Develop my relationship with You in ways that I may not know right now. I just want to be closer to You. I want to know You more. And then we say, but also please this. Please provide job. Please heal my son. And God wants us to bring those desires to Him. He wants to hear that. He wants to be our comforter and our friend in that. Maybe His role isn't healer in that. But He wants to have a role in that. And we... from the people that I know that have gone through that, not that they're not hurt or that they don't go through pain, but they have this foundation of, no matter what happens in this earth, God loves me, and I can believe that, and I can trust in that, and that is the thing that we can hope for. And so, I mean, just encouraging people in like the love of God and in walking through suffering with them, because God walks through suffering with us. That was exemplified through Jesus. He walks through suffering with us.
You know, this idea of unanswered prayer has been something that has really just kind of confused me, and it's been hard in my just in my journey, like I've said, you know, today. And all it's not that I have not experienced God, totally ignoring my prayers. I mean, there's like when I went to Africa 10 years ago, I needed to raise a lot of money, and I was $1,000 short. No one knew I was $1,000 short, but I needed it by the next morning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just said a prayer. Well, God, if you want me to go, I just trust that you'll provide. Mm-hmm. Opened up my mailbox, and it was a check written from someone on it, like a money order for $1,000. I'm like, what is this? It was just a small little prayer, $1,000. I'm like, okay. And then I'll pray for things like the salvation of my family, my brothers and my sister, and I know that they have a part in that, and I know that there's a two side of that relationship. But I'll pray for different things, and it'll just be silent. But what was interesting in what you were saying, and through our conversations, this idea of who God is, and who we are, and this idea of eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about that just because it's just something that's been developed and, you know, that God is just kind of developing me in. But before I talk about that, I just want to say, like, the topic of suffering and people who have unanswered prayers, that's an important thing to not brush over, to not say, well, here's the answer. Right. You know, we need to sit with and hurt with them. And so that this is not just explaining away their hurt, but... You know, as I just think about this idea of eternal perspective, you know, I think of different verses in the Bible that say we are like just a vapor in the wind. Mm. We're like a mist. And at first I'm like, that's terrifying. I want to live forever. But it's like there, you're like a flower that blooms and then it goes. And I'm like, what the crap, you know? And the Bible, it also says in the Old Testament, we have eternity written in our hearts. And there's a reason why we don't like suffering and death, because that abuses that eternity in our hearts. Yeah. But the reality of this eternal perspective is Jesus, as you were saying, he entered God, who is outside of time. He entered into the human suffering condition. Yeah. He entered into suffering, a family, Mary, that did not have money. Yeah. Very poor. I mean, Jesus was a bastard. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, he didn't have an earthly father. He chose that, and when I just read more about Jesus, I'm like, oh my goodness, God, who was beauty, who is everything, decided to come and suffer with us, and then he was on the cross, mm-hmm. and he was nailed to the cross, and he suffered mm-hmm. for our suffering. And, you know, we're in the series One in Doubt, and there was a time when Jesus was on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And a lot of scholars say that in that moment, Jesus was expressing doubt to God, which I mean, that's kind of a long trail to get to. Mm-hmm. The scholars, you know, take a long trail to get to that. But that's just fascinating that Jesus was like, God, what's happening? Yeah. And that for me and my prayers and people like this topic of racism, people like, and I can't relate to that. I will never probably and haven't experienced racism. Mm-hmm. So, but this idea of suffering, and God came and he suffered, but it doesn't stop there. Yeah. He rose again. And with that, and that's this eternal perspective thing in prayer that I've been just really thinking about and has been kind of changing how I view God in prayer, is that in that, he defeated suffering. Yeah. And he defeated death. And that we are in this process, what scholars say, this here but not yet time, when his kingdom is here through his resurrection and its coming, mm-hmm. where one day all the suffering will be wiped from our eyes. The tears will be wiped from our eyes. It's kind of like, I was thinking about this and it's kind of stupid, but it's like you get a Lyft driver, like you like already have him, he owls coming in his like Honda Civic, you know, like you've already like, I know it's weird, but it helps me. It's like through his resurrection, like he is coming. He is coming and he's almost here. I know it's funny, but it helps. And Jesus, his kingdom is coming where every tear will be wiped. And in a sense, when I pray, like, God, help me with, it's kind of like, I have. Mm. And the fullness of that will come soon. Just let me hold you. And again, it doesn't answer these questions of suffering immediately right now, but it lets me have this eternal perspective to know that ultimately I'm an eternal person and I will be with God and with Jesus where I will no longer suffer. Yeah. So it's kind of a long, I just wanted to say what I've been, you know, thoughts on.
No, that's great. I think, I mean, I'm going to like butcher this, but Kyle, What's that?
The Kalong?
Eternity in Your Heart. What book's that in?
Ecclesiastes commentary.
No big deal.
I read commentaries for fun, so I mean, I got you. Yeah, it's weird again.
Well, if you're ever reading an Ecclesiastes commentary,
it's got this word that I can't say because it's got a Q followed by an O.
That's the author.
Oh, that's the author. Wow.
Okay.
And so. I'm just gonna call him Q.
Brother didn't help you out with the Hebrew word. He's like, it's a big Hebrew word, but you got it.
So Q says, thus, convey the absurdity of the human plight. People are caught in an ironic situation of having eternity in their heart, but they can encounter everything only moment by moment. God's activity is eternal, yet God makes everything appropriate only in time. And Kyle introduced me to that, and that's just so I just loved that because it is so difficult for us as people to understand this idea of eternity.
Yeah.
Because what we experience is moment by moment.
Yeah.
I'm not experiencing eternity right now. I'm experiencing this cup with some water in it.
It actually has some stuff in it, so
it's got
I've
like
still
a little bit of dust,
it.
But I'm still going to drink it.
Makes you stronger.
Fine. That's what you know. Jesus was God came to Earth.
Yeah.
Was experiencing the humanity moment by moment, and in that moment he was on the cross. He was going through suffering, and I mean just what that does to my prayer life is like, he was the Son of God.
Yeah,
and he was suffering, and he even asked that like. If it's your will, please let it pass from me.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't want to go through that craziness. But it was just, he did. He had to. And it's like, looking back on it, we sort of have the answer of why now.
Yeah.
But when we live moment by moment, we don't have that
that
answer right now.
And again, that doesn't minimize our suffering, our prayers, and our context not being answered. That hurt shouldn't be minimized, but I mean, it at least gives an avenue of, okay. Yeah. And what's interesting, you know, on my journey of prayer and of doubting with prayer, you know, I've doubted prayer and I've doubted prayer and I've doubted prayer. Like, why isn't my prayer being answered? But I came to a moment where I wasn't doubting prayer, I was doubting God. And that was pretty big for me to realize. And then I came to the realization that if prayer is this two-way communication between me and God, and if I'm to put God on trial for not answering my prayers, then that opens the door for him to put me on trial for me not answering his prayers or the communication that he says to me, like, Michael, I want you to do this. Or the book, the Bible, where it's his written words to humanity that people have witnessed and written saying, hey, do this, love one another, reject evil, go to the marginalized and the poor and the sick and take care and visit and look after the orphan and the widow and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus almost shouts it. And I just have been so convicted because I'm like, God, help me get such and such. Help me get this. And then Jesus is like, okay, Michael, I hear you, but what about following me? Mm. And what's interesting is that 5 miles away from us right now, there are thousands of children who will go to sleep without a bed, 5 miles from us, one of the richest places in the world, 5 miles from us. And if I'm just really honest with you, Michael, if I look at this past year and I'm reading and I'm teaching on, hey, love your neighbor, and I think my neighbor is going to bed, thousands of children are going to bed without a bed, what have I done to love them? I can count on like one hand how many times I've helped this past year, and I've just been super convicted about that. And if I'm to put God on trial, I should be open to him putting me on trial for that communication. And you know, I've been talking to a bunch of sync people just kind of in that, and we're a lot of us are just not okay with that. And we're actually going to be meeting with Angie. She's back there. She's the director of Generations United, and Generations United is about what does a relationship look like? How do we love our neighbors? Not like, hey, I'm going to serve you, but how can we serve each other? And next, this coming week, a bunch of us are getting together. If you're interested, let me know. Join us. And some families are going to cook us a food. From this state of homelessness, they're cooking for us. Mm. And we're going to ask them, how can we love our neighbors? And how can Sanctuary be committed every week to doing that? Mm. So join us next year on our kickoff. We're going to focus a lot on that. But this idea of prayer is a two-way street.
Yeah.
And one last thing.
If I could just reiterate. Yeah, like, it's so powerful to me, and like maybe there's some theological things in there that
Kyle Lung's right there, he can help.
But yeah, but like this idea that what you said of it's easy, like two-way communication. What's God praying for us?
Mm-hmm. What's he saying?
It's easy for us to say, God, why are you picking and choosing what I'm praying for? And yet we need to turn the mirror on ourselves and say, why am I picking and choosing what God is calling me to do?
Yeah.
And because if it really truly is a two-way communication, then like I need to be receptive to what God is calling me to do.
Yeah.
Maybe it's risky. Maybe it's dangerous. Maybe it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But if I'm picking and choosing on that, then I'm not responding to the ask.
Yeah.
I'm receiving back the answer that I'm receiving back.
Yeah,
I'm not responding to.
At the end of Brazil, we were all gathered just in this place, and we just said, "Hey, where have we seen God, and how are we going to come back changed? Like, how have we been changed?" And I was super exhausted, super tired, and we all were, but we were so engaged. There were tears. There was just very powerful, and we talked about this idea of dangerous prayer, of praying the dangerous prayer. And we were honest, and we were like, it's hard to pray the dangerous prayer, and that prayer is, God, use me, send me, whatever you want, wherever you want, speak to me, and I will go. Mm. And that's not to say that God's going to say, okay, go and live in Brazil. He might. Laura's here. She'll talk with you. Or go to Africa. And we go to this, like, extreme, but often it's like, okay, love that person right there. Buy him a coffee. The small things, but praying the dangerous prayer, to where, God, I'm here. I'm available. Yeah. How can you use me? Yeah. And just as a community, as we're just kind of wrapping up this conversation, I just encourage you. I don't know what your dangerous prayer is. I don't know what prayer is for you, or where you're at. Prayer's hard. It's tough. It can also be a beautiful, comforting thing. But we just encourage you to pray and to seek prayer. There have been times in my life that I just feel like I'm not going to survive. And then I'll go on a walk and just for months just pray and shout out to God. And with often no answer, sometime an answer, but that relationship between him is established. And I was actually talking to someone and they said, you know, God never grows us when we go on a two-week vacation to, like, Hawaii. He grows us in that suffering. Mm. And it's in that time that we're calling out to him and crying that we grow. So wherever you're at, we encourage you to pray. Find one of us, pray. Join a life group, pray with them. Go to coffee and pray. And just pray a dangerous prayer. God, where can you send me? Mm. What can I do? Thanks for being here, Michael. Thanks for appreciating it. It was so fun to talk with you. Yeah. I would love for us to just close this part of Sanctuary with you just praying for us, if you could.
Of course.
Cool.
Man, Father God, thank you. Thank you so much that we live in a world where we can openly talk about prayer. That I live in a place of the world where I can do that, that I'm not afraid of being killed for talking about this. Father, I'm just so humbled that there are so many billions of people in this world, and yet you seek relationship with me? ? I'm so humbled by that, Father. I just thank you for your love and for your kindness, that no matter what it is that I'm praying for, that you are a God that seeks relationship above all else, that you are a God that wants to meet me in my joy, that wants to meet me in my suffering, that wants to meet me in my doubt. You are a God that wants to speak into that. Father, I believe that when we speak to you, when we cry out to you, you are a good shepherd and you recognize our voice. You hear us. I believe that. That requires faith. God, grow our faith, make us stronger every day, Father, in our relationship with you in this journey of life that we're on. May we constantly be encouraged that our prayers are not going unanswered because the prayers are a cry out for a relationship with you, and you never will deny us of that. Thank you so much, Father. It's in your Son's name. Amen. So this next song that I'm not going to sing, they're going to sing. I'm going to sing a solo, actually. Sorry. Where'd my phone go? It was on that chair. Okay, thank you. this song's really appropriate to me and for a lot of reasons. And I just encourage you guys to really look at these words, really listen to what's being talked about in the context of prayer, in the context of what an eternal perspective means. I don't think we can really ever get to a complete understanding of what eternity is, but we can at least grow closer in our relationship with the Father to better understand that he exists. He is an eternal being, but he exists here with us. And part of some of the words that this song talks about is how God is just so higher. His thoughts are higher. His words are higher. And that's from Isaiah. That's from Isaiah 55. And it says, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And I don't say that to diminish any type of importance that we have in our suffering. That is important. It's important to God. God feels it. He wants to walk through it with us. And it's not to diminish it at all. It's actually, in fact, to encourage it, that there is something at work here that is bigger than me, and I need to step out into faith and just believe that even though maybe I don't understand that it's okay because I am loved by somebody so, 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 so much. So let's sing together.